Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
There's a ball past the diving second baseman, Daryl Hernandez. Being waved around is Isak Paredes. He's going to jog home, and the Astros have their first lead in the last six games. It's 1-0.
You heard it from the man himself, Todd Callis. The Astros have their first lead in the last six games. They lead 2-0. Top of the second inning. Framber Valdez is... He looks different. His dreads are gone.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He's out there. New Framber, new day, at least for one inning. And the Astros have a lead.
I was going to say, he also looks different because he got out of an inning clean.
Yes.
That also...
I mean, credit to Framber for his impeccable timing. Like, I mean, you really got to know your spots. Like, all of August, 90% of September, no.
Nope.
September 25th is when you get your act
together. Lock in.
Yeah.
Joe George, Sean Mapes, Brian McDonald here with you.
Oh,
Jeremy
sorry.
Will return to the show on Monday. Monday or Tuesday is when Todd Callis, the voice you just heard, will join the show next. He won't be on tomorrow with Mapes and Will. He'll be on with Jeremy and I on Monday. If the Astros make the playoffs, Tuesday if they do not make the playoffs. That's the schedule
okay. For
next week. But we got a lot to talk about. We'll talk about last night's game, what we're seeing from this team. Golden era, when did it end? We'll talk Texans. We heard from Nick Caley today. He talked about the offense and how it's not a replica of what was going on in New England. We'll talk about what's going on in the world of college football. And we'll hit some Rockets as well. We haven't really had a chance this week. There's been so much going on with the Astros and Texans to really discuss the Fred VanVleet deal and ACL injury that's going to keep him out for the entire season. So the Astros essentially now have to win 3 out of their 4 remaining games, and the Tigers have to lose 3 out of 4. Now, the Tigers are awful, but things were bad last night, Sean. That was a ugly, ugly baseball game for the Houston Astros.
It might be one of the most depressing watches I think I've ever had watching baseball. And it's, in a way, even less depressing than when they lose in the playoffs, whether it's Game 7 of 2019 in the World Series or Game 7 2023 in the ALCS. Because it's happening in a minor league ballpark at 10:30 at night, and you're like, I know I can turn this off, mm-hmm. but I at this point, I will just see it out just in case something happens. And you're just staring there at the TV being like, nope, nothing new. This is just same old for how the Astros have been playing the last month of the season. And it's completely and utterly depressing.
Yeah, I mean, from this, the Jesus Sanchez play to Hunter Brown getting touched up a little bit for the first time in a while, it feels like last night. And just an overall, like the non-competitive at-bats in a series in which it is as must-win without technically being must-win gets. Because now you're literally in must-win every single baseball game, basically, the rest of the season. And the Tigers are helping you. I mean, they are not playing good baseball, but the Red Sox could separate themselves potentially a little bit to where they might not need to try their hardest as much that last series of the season. So it's going to be an intense couple days for the Astros. And it starts with today, the game that's happening right now. Like, we're not going to ignore it. Like, Framber Valdez has to be good in this game. You have to get a victory. Again, in a ballpark in which the scoreboard apparently is not even working. Like, that's where the Astros season is essentially coming to an end. It's a minor league ballpark.
Yeah. And that, again, adds to the, like, sadness of how this Astros season looks to be on its way of ending, is you can't win against a homeless team playing in a minor league ballpark with your best pitcher on the mound last night.
5-3-1-5, this team doesn't deserve to be in the postseason. Yes. The way they're playing right now is not worthy of it. We'll talk about the injuries and everything like that that's been happening to why the Astros are in the position they are today in the next 3 days. But the reality is that the guys who are healthy that are in the lineup every day are just not producing. It doesn't help that Jeremy Peña does have an oblique strain. He's feeling it when he's swinging in, you know, batting practice and things like that. So he hasn't been able to be an impact in this series. And frankly, like, even if the Astros make a run here over the next handful of days, there's serious questions if he can even make an impact on this team at all. Like, if it's just another of the long list of injuries this season, potentially now the worst time of the season where Peña is hurting.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a fitting way for this thing to wind down is that, oh, by the way, one more injury for you to one of your best players. So while I think that you can be sad with how they've looked out there and how just the lack of competition that you've seen basically since this weekend in every game, you do have to remember that this is like a very injured team and a team that is still technically fighting for the playoffs with all these injuries taken into account.
Yeah, it's one of those where even today, like when the lineup came out, I was surprised to see Jesus Sanchez in the lineup today. I just felt like after yesterday's miscue that we would not see him be there today. And I know they don't have a ton of options and things like that, but he is not of all the things the Astros have done this year, like Christian Walker has obviously been a disappointment, but the Jesus Sanchez one, honestly, like, I think it bothers me more because at the deadline, that was the decision that you made to go out there and try to solve your right field problems where Cam Smith hadn't been playing well. This guy last night in left field has a ball coming right at him. He lets it get away from him, and he is just not producing at the plate well enough to have miscues like that in the field. And he has these, it feels like, I don't know, Sean Williams, like once a series. Like it feels like where he has some kind of error or miscue that allows the other team to take advantage of a situation that makes it more stressful on your starting pitcher or on your bullpen. Like he's a detriment to this team, honestly. I would rather, and we're seeing Zach Cole out there today instead of Jake Myers. Like, I would much rather see Jake Myers in center field today and Zach Cole out there in right field instead of Jesus Sanchez. Frankly, like, if he didn't play the rest of the season, I wouldn't be heartbroken. He's going to, but I wouldn't be heartbroken if we didn't see much of him the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I don't really know what the case is for more Jesus Sanchez. You know, like you said, he's a detriment in the field every time he's out there. And whether it's just misplaying a ball or giving up an extra base like he did last night, or they're way back in the Boston series where there's foul balls that he could have caught and gives the batter another life in the at-bat. So it's just he's costing you in the field, and also he's hitting below 200 for the last month. So there really isn't anything that he is bringing you. Like you know, in theory, platoon split he has against righties. It's like, well, it's not that good. Like, he's only playing against righties, and he's still playing this poorly. Like, there's really no case to be made that he should, that he deserves to be in there, all things being equal.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's really no redeeming qualities. Is the nicest way to put it. Like, it's almost like he's at the point now where, you know, we've all been in those relationships where, like, your friends are like, are you sure you know what you're doing here a little bit? Like, that's kind of what I feel like when I tell Joe Espada is, are you sure? Like, you sure you want to have Jesus Sanchez in the lineup? And it's like, it's not all on him. Like, there's obviously a million things that have gone wrong with the Houston Astros this season. But I think it's just, it's kind of the cherry on top of everything of what's gone wrong with this team, that this guy has been so bad since he got here to the Astros. It was, like, honestly my biggest thing from last night. It's just, Why? What is up with this dude? And you look at any of his numbers in Miami, they're nothing close to what they were like here in Houston. And that's not a hitting coach thing. That's just a player is broken thing at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that there's just nothing. There's just not, like, this guy, it's been such a whiff of a deadline acquisition because, going back in time, like, they were trying to keep their head above water as they were leading the division and waiting for reinforcements to come and trying to help out Cam Smith by giving him more days off and more being able to use him more in advantageous matchups. And the theory of that all makes sense. The theory of it all made sense given Jesus Sanchez's numbers. But Sanchez just has not delivered in that in any way.
So what's your, I mean, assuming, I think we're all probably on the same page here. Like, we don't think the Astros are going to make the playoffs. at this point?
I mean,
right?
No. I mean, I said that to you yesterday. Nothing, yeah. I mean, I didn't think they're going to make the playoffs yesterday. Then they went and got shut out with Hunter Brown on the mound. So no reason for me to change it now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping.
Although the Tigers are historically awful, so
that's the thing too. Is like the Astros have like that's why to me like this season, you can't look at the injuries and say that's the reason why you specifically missed the playoffs. Like you have to look at like the way the Tigers are playing right now. If the Astros were just playing relatively good baseball, and we're just going to keep talking a ton of trash about them as they keep scoring runs in the game that's happening right now, if they were just playing competitive baseball this season, this recent stretch of the season, this wouldn't even be a conversation. Like they might still have, you know, they still would have lost the division to the Mariners, but you wouldn't be worried about the wild card the way the Tigers are playing. Like if you're just playing somewhere around 500, you're good to go and you're locked into the playoffs essentially at this point. And instead, they're doing everything they can to keep the Tigers season alive as well. It's two teams that honestly look like they have no interest in being in the postseason right now.
Yeah, no, I mean it's something where we talked about it throughout the season when they drop games to bad teams where it's like, hey, listen, this is going to come back to bite you, da da da. At this point, you can really just look at it as like the first two games of this series has come back to bite you. Like these two games have cost you a chance at making the playoffs, or at the very least controlling your own destiny to make the playoffs. It's that you don't even have to go back to like, you know, that series in May when they lost to bad. No, you can go this series that happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. That is what's costing you right now. And as we say that, they're now up 5-0.
Hey, you know what? Round. Just, you know,
spoiler alert.
Hey, you know what? Maybe they've got a chance. Maybe they're going to make a run here over the next couple of days.
Well, though, that's the most frustrating thing about it, guys, is like, it's one thing if they were to fall apart and everyone else around them was playing well. I was like, well, maybe they wouldn't have made it anyway. Like, if the Astros just hadn't completely crapped their pants, they would be in line for a bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We'd be, like, laughing about this. We'd be like, look at these losers.
The Mariners, who they were tied with, like, less than a week ago, are a game out of the top overall seed. Mm-hmm. That's the most frustrating part, that the teams at the very top open it back up for you to get a bye and really have a chance to make a run, and the Astros just, nah, no thanks. And,
yeah. Think about what's happened over the last couple weeks. The American League is astonishing, and honestly, like,
no one wants to win it.
Like the Mariners, the Astros had a division lead of like what, 4 or 5 games. They've lost that. They're now 5 games back at the moment. The Tigers had a monumental like 12.5.
Astros were up by 7 at one point. By the way,
they've lost it. The Blue Jays had a pretty commanding lead, but are now 4-6 in their last 10, and are now tied with the New York Yankees atop the American League East. A month ago, the top of the American League will have completely changed from a month ago to probably where it's getting by the end of the season. Like, it was the Astros, Blue Jays, and the Tigers at the top. And none of those teams are going to be at the top, and one of those teams is going to miss the playoffs.
With the AL Central, though, the crazy thing, guys, is you don't even have to go back a month. On September 10th, 15 days ago, the Tigers are up by 9.5 games.
That's crazy.
On September 10th, they're up 9.5 games, and now they trail the Guardians in the division.
See, it can always be worse. at least the Astros didn't have a 12-game lead to blow.
They only blew a 7-game lead.
Yeah,
it's not as
silver lining.
Yeah, except one of you might is not going to be in the playoffs, so it's ultimately not going to matter.
And it might be Sacramento that sends you home.
Yeah. All right. At what point are we ready to declare that the golden era has officially ended? When did it end, if you've already declared that? We'll get to that next year. It's Jeremy and Joe with Sean Mapes filling in for Jeremy. BMAC here with us, as always, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks. It's always a golden era over at Prize Picks. I got a 10-game lead, and actually, I'm still battling it out. But every night, you can make a little bit of money on your sports knowledge, whether that is some baseball, whether that is some football, when basketball comes back, whatever you want. There's Ryder Cup action this weekend. You can find it on Prize Picks, including a little Thursday night football action. You have the Seahawks. You have the Cardinals. Right now, there's a discounted player projection for Kyler Murray. He just has to throw for more than 177.5 yards. Give me the more on that one. Give me a little bit of Trey Benson, more than 55.5 yards in his first game as a starter after the James Conner injury. Give me this one. This is something Price Picks will do every once in a while. Well, they'll combine some player projections. So give me more than 146 combined receiving yards from Trey McBride and from JSN for Seattle. That way, you just need a big game for one of them and not a complete disappearing act from the other, and you feel pretty good about that. Whatever you want, it's on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win. That bonus is guaranteed. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe George and Sean Mapes here with you today alongside Brian McDonald. Jeremy will return on Monday.
Thanks for the time, Jeremy.
Tomorrow will be Will Kunkel and Sean. I'm moving. I'm in trouble, guys. I'm in big trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to
how's
do.
How's the move going?
Is that because you took out time from your packing to play me in our dynasty last night?
No, not last night was not the reason, but we're so behind. And honestly, bad teammate over here. Looking right in the mirror, I've not held up my end of the bargain on the packing part. I told my wife last night, I was like, I will do all of the unpacking. You can just point and tell me where things go in the new house. Because I have not held up my end of the bargain.
What time are the movers showing up Friday?
Apparently, they just texted me. They said they're going to be there between 10 and noon, and they just texted me and said they'll be there at 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Oof.
So
there's no packing tomorrow. Everything's got to be done today.
I've decided that I'm going to have my brother come over, and whatever doesn't, like, miscellaneous stuff doesn't get packed tonight. It's just we're going to do, like, 20 trips. Like, we're just going to be like, whatever's not in a box that's not in there, like, looking at the air fryer today, I'm like, I think we're out of boxes. That's not going to have a box to go in. Like,
we bringing in loose items.
Yeah, we're like packing up my car, my brother's car, and just like loose item toys, things like that. Like, it's just going to be his bicycle is probably going to end up in the back of a car. Like, it's just going to be a hodgepodge of random crap in our cars to make this move happen. It's going to be a disaster. That's why I'm not working tomorrow, because I know myself. I can self evaluate, and I could tell about a month ago. When we were looking for a house and nothing was packed yet, I was like, I got a bad feeling about the Astros. Like that's how I felt. I was like,
and
the vibes are not good in the house.
And like the Astros, it's not just last night that put you in this position. It's several different days throughout the past month where, you know, if things have gone differently, maybe you're not looking at a 5-game deficit in the division of up your house.
Honestly, that's how I feel right now. Like I feel
maybe
like
it's time to cut. I was going to say cut hair, but cut your mustache and get serious, like Fromberg.
I know.
Like, lose the hair and get serious.
Shave the mustache tonight, and like it's game time now.
Yeah.
All right. So, at what point? I think we've already declared that the golden era is dead. Like I think everyone's kind of. To that point where like the golden era of Astros baseball is over.
I would be interested if anyone out there doesn't think it's over. I just want to hear. I just want to hear why.
Yeah,
could that person exist?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe Schwabe. Schwabe's pretty optimistic.
I mean, he says they quit.
Okay. Well, no. If he's out, then I think everyone's out.
Yeah. So I think at this point, everyone's pretty much okay. The golden era of Astros baseball is over. Now it doesn't mean that this team's not going to. Have a chance to make the playoffs next year or even the year after that and things like that. Like they can still be a competitive baseball team. They're not going to be one of the worst teams in the league. Like that's even though this feels like a disaster right now, I don't think that's where the Astros are headed. But when did it feel like the golden era actually ended? 9563 says the day we parted ways with Dusty Baker, it was over. I think that's a good. There's a bunch of different reference points that you can go to. People are pointing to the day that James Click was no longer part of this organization. I saw people tweeting that last night. That's really when
I think that's a reach.
The day after they won the World Series. Yeah,
well, especially since the following season they went to Game 7 of the ALCS.
So I agree with you. To me, there's two spots, and they're both in 2024.
Agreed already.
It's either the start of the season where they start just 7-20 or whatever they were, where it's like, you know, a really good baseball team doesn't do this, or it is game two of the AL 100%. Or the AL wild card game, where game one, I'm willing to give you, hey, that's Tarik Skubal over there. He just will do that to you. Sometimes in game one, you just go up against an ace and he out aces you. Game two, they didn't score. They had no chance at ever winning that game. So to me, I would go with game two of last year's wild card round against the Tigers.
100%. I would go game when the two game sweep was concluded by the Tigers, especially because, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the Tigers throw out a bullpen game in game two? And they beat you in Houston with a bullpen game and with Hunter Brown on the mound?
I believe so. If not, it was I know going into that series they're talking about pitching chaos.
Yeah, it was Tarik Skubal and pitching chaos. Like in game two, you have Hunter Brown on the mound. You're at home, and the Tigers openly admit we really just going to throw everyone out there because we don't have a second starter, and they still beat you.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's Golden Era dead.
See, text line says, 7308 says the golden era of Astros baseball is experiencing elbow discomfort. 0853 says when you lost to the Rangers in 2023. There's a bunch of different options. I do think the James Click one, though, to defend it a little bit, like when James Click left, that's when things started to unravel, I think, from a roster construction point. That's when you overpaid Rafael Montero. That's when you overpaid Jose Abreu. That's when you overpaid Christian Walker. Like, that's when you've made roster decision moves that are really questionable. Spoiler alert, Sean and I had this conversation on Inside the Icebox. You can check it out on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel tomorrow morning. But, Brian, for you and for the audience, I have a very specific moment where I think the Astros' golden era truly ended. And it's when they started no longer acting like the Houston Astros. I go back to an Athletic article posted on September 15th of 2023 that says the Houston Astros are repainting the batter's eye.
You calling them soft?
To me, like when I look back, like when it started to really feel like things were going awry for the Houston Astros, and when there was a change in the organization, and it led to them losing to the Rangers in 2023 because they couldn't hit it home. Like whatever happened that season, where all of a sudden there was just a million excuses about the batter's eye. That was not an issue in 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, or 22. All of a sudden in 2023, this batter's eye, that yes, they had done some work on it, was this massive conversation point around the Houston Astros and this massive complaint from the players publicly, privately, about how bad it was. They had to repaint it. Then they repainted it again before 2024. And frankly, the hitting hasn't gotten that much better at Dykin Park since they really redid all that stuff. Like, it's just that to me is where it feels like where it really ended, because that's when the excuse making started happening. Instead of overcoming obstacles and overcoming the challenges that this team has faced, it was like, oh, well, we can't hit it home. It's the batter's eye. Oh, we can't do this. And it's also kind of coincides with when the injuries started to pile up, because it wasn't an issue for the Rangers in the postseason. It wasn't an issue for the Tigers last year at Minute Maid Park when it was Minute Maid Park. In the postseason, like they didn't score a ton of runs, but they obviously scored more runs than you. And that to me is where I look back at the Astros and I'm like, meh, like don't really love where the team has gone from that point in time.
Yeah, it speaks to a little bit of mental fragility there of like, okay, there's like the excuse machine is cranking up with the batter's eye now. I just have a hard time saying that, like, the golden era doesn't include the Jose Altuve home run in game six of that series, where it is game seven of the ALCS. Even if you want to say game seven, they also, where you lose, what was it, 11-3, mm-hmm. something like that. I would buy into that more so just because, like, they did pick themselves off the mat. And that to me is a little bit why this end of the season, and especially last night's game for the Astros, was so depressing. Because at the very least, every time they would go out, like there would be a moment where they picked themselves up off the mat. They wouldn't go out soft. They would actually go out fighting. And last night just felt like they just bleh.
They were rallied by their leader, Framber Valdez, today, clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
I mean, their emotional leader.
Who's catching today? Is it Salazar? Or? Oh, no, it's Caratini.
Yeah, I think it's Caratini today.
I thought this was a sports movie moment of where they put their differences aside and save this ball club.
9563 says when Bagwell got involved. 5960 says the golden era ended when Crane started to get involved like Jerry Jones and involved Bagwell in the baseball operations. I think that's another one too, that I think it coincides with the bad moves that I was talking about. But like when you went into an off season without a general manager and your owner and, a guy who really just talks over TK when he's on the television, like that's when, you know, things got a little bit out of control. 6403 says it was over after Tucker and Bregman left. Those were the last of the actual golden era guys other than Altuve. That's a fair point. That's a very like, there's no one left.
Yeah.
Besides Altuve and Yordan.
That there's some
and
of that.
Lance. And Lance.
He's there. In spirit.
There is some of that too, why this collapse isn't as like isn't like completely stunning, is that when you look at who's out there for the team, like it's Correa and Altuve as far as familiar faces from the golden era. And it Lance McCullers. And then during commercial breaks, well, when HEB commercials are on.
Yeah.
And then everyone else, it is, you know, it's Jeremy Payne. I mean, Jeremy Payne is not out there last night or the last couple nights, but it is a lot of new faces where it's like, yeah, Jesus Sanchez, someone we've talked about a lot today, like, he didn't come through. Guess what? He's never come through for the Astros. Like, he doesn't have the pelts on the wall of deep playoff run after deep playoff run. Neither does Christian Walker. Neither does Isak Paredes, Yiner Diaz. Like, a lot of these guys are guys that aren't they're not the old guys. They are new, and they don't have the whatever it takes that the old guys did have.
Yeah, yeah. Another one here on YouTube. I think this one's interesting from Rocky. He says, when Luno got fired, it was over. Because his players and teams he built were destined to be broke apart, and he was no longer the architect. Like
there's a little bit on it.
If you look at like the start of the end, that's where I can't say it's the end of the golden era. But
yeah,
the first of how did we get where we are today? I do think all of this still, in a way, goes back to the sign stealing scandal, where like you are seeing Luno not being here, and as the Astros season's collapsing, he's tweeting out new profile picture of a soccer stadium. I don't think that tweet was a total coincidence last night. You are seeing the not having the prospects that of which you lost draft capital for because of that. Like, I do think like the 2019, you know, start to where you lost Luno, you lost Hinch, and you lost draft capital, like, is where you could say that's where the writing was on the wall, but it took 6 years for the story to be written.
Because those teams were the best of this era.
Yeah.
Like, there's no denying that those three teams, 17, 18, 19, were the best of the golden era of Astros baseball. And so, yeah, it's been a slow stair step down to where we are now. And I just think it's funny that we just keep pushing back further and further, where it's like we're not quite ready, or at least BMAC and I aren't quite ready to say September of 2023.
Yeah,
and now we've gotten when Dusty Baker was fired. We got when Dusty Baker was hired. Essentially, we got when Jeff Luno left. Like, at some point, we're gonna go all the way back to like it was over after they lost in 2018 and the ALCS. Like, the golden era was actually just 1 year. As it all turns out, it was just 1 year.
The other option that I've seen floating around social media as people were kind of discussing this last night and the last couple of days is it really ended when Framber and Salazar got crossed up. Because
just an accident like that ended the...
I think that's overreaction.
Really unravel for this
team. I think that's ignoring how meh they had played up leading up to that point for the full season.
Yeah, because there's like five bad Framber starts before that.
Yeah, like if they were 30 games above 500, and all of a sudden they collapse after the Salazar-Fromber thing. Okay, but, like, no, they were pretty mad and all over the place before that.
All right, coming up on the show today, we'll have Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports coming on with us at 4 o'clock. Adam Ronis from SiriusXM will join us at 4:30 for some fantasy football conversation. We'll get to our picks of the week since this will be my last show. We have Jeremy's picks on hand. Sharon will be our guest picker as well this week. So we'll have a bunch of games to go through throughout the day. All right. Who's further away from a title now? Is it the Texans or is it the Astros? We'll get to that next year on Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe George, Sean Mapes, Brian McDonald here with you. Jeremy returns to the show on Monday as he's out for the rest of the week. Astros playing right now up 5-0. Jose Altuve just hit a fastball off his, or a foul ball off his foot. I think he's okay. Off his ankle? That didn't look pretty.
No.
That's going to be one of the worst things you can do as a baseball player is hit the ball.
Oh, yeah. Just like bumping or dropping something on your ankle like around the house.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine an exit velocity of 99 off your ankle.
Yeah. Or off your nose, like what happened to David Fry of the Guardians the other day.
Off your shin. Hello, Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker. Yeah, you know, he's got those issues.
Suck it up. Get back out there.
Yep.
I just want to beat Joe to that.
I agree. All right, which team is furthest away from a title at this point, the Houston Texans or the Houston Astros? Now, the Astros season's not over, technically.
Never, never quit.
The Texans season's not over. I got never, reminded again
never
by
quit.
Calvin Darrett just now.
That 2018, they are the only team to start 0-3 and make the playoffs. I've heard it.
Deshaun Watson's not walking through that door.
Yeah. Bill O'Brien's not walking through that door.
Can you at least give me like a DeAndre Hopkins or JJ Watt? Like, of like not walking through that door? Like, we got to go.
Lamar Miller's not walking through
that door. Bernard McKinney's not walking through that door.
The pervert in the teapot. Like, are the guys that we're going to point out are the guys that are not walking through that door?
Doesn't matter, Brian.
I know. What it really is like that, that offensive line isn't walking through that door.
Yeah. But. When you look at these two teams, it really feels like they are both very far away for different reasons. One, the Astros season's literally on the brink over the next 3.5 days at this point, or 3.5 games at this point. Where the Texans are 0-3, their offensive coordinator is now meeting with the media trying to tell people that it's not a replica offense of the New England Patriots, which no one believes. I will trust Todd Bowles, an opposing coach, over the words that are coming out of Nick Caley's mouth. Which team is farther from winning a championship?
I mean, to me, it's the Texans. Because that, like, this season didn't really even get off the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is already not a loss. Maybe not a lost season, but... That they're not making the playoffs. Like, they're not going to do it. And the Astros still technically can. And even beyond just like the current state of things, I also just trust the Astros that they can make the changes necessary. They can just be less injured next year. Or
what a goal.
Yeah. Or, and then you make the baseball playoffs and just stuff happens and you can go farther, where in the NFL, like, it's just so much harder to just, oh, hey, we just kind of fluked our way into a good run, especially when you're a team that struggles along the offensive line, struggles up the middle on the defensive line. Not to mention, like, are we super sold on the quarterback now? Like, that, all this gets thrown in the stew of just, like, it really doesn't, it looks like it's closer to, oh, This thing might be some jobs might be opening up, maybe not this year. Well, Nick Haley's will this year, but maybe someone else is, you know, other D'Amico and Nick Caserio, they're closer to getting fired to me than they seem like getting things back on track.
Yeah, no, Joe Spada could be fired in the next, you know, five days.
Yeah, but baseball man.
You're right. No, but it's a good point. Like they don't matter as much. Yeah, I think it's also hard to say, like, the argument for the Texans being closer is what? Because they've never even gotten to an AFC championship game.
Yeah.
Or like the Astros, you do have the injuries. You do have some older players. You do have some bad contracts on the books that are going to slowly start coming off. You do have things and an owner that, and while he hasn't spent like the Dodgers and the Mets, like has spent money and has claimed publicly that the window will always be open as long as he's the owner of the team. It wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world to see Jim Crane spend recklessly this offseason, because he's already been doing it with Jose Abreu and Christian Walker and Rafael Montero, like, to try to fix the problems. But with the Texans, I don't see it. Anything.
I feel like I'm with you guys. I feel like the Texans are much further away, because I look at it like the mountain they have to climb to get to the top is a much more daunting task in the NFL, especially with the Texans being the AFC. It's not as simple as, okay, fix your offensive line, get better running backs, and let's hope these Iowa State rookie wide receivers, you know, learn up and become better players. Like, you know, Burrow at the low end of this, Allen, Lamar, Mahomes, like, there's just such a steeper hill to overcome than, well, the Blue Jays came out of nowhere after being bad the year before. The Mariners made the playoffs for the first time, or won the division for the first time since 2001. Like, it feels much more year to year up and down in Major League Baseball than where it's kind of entrenched in the NFL with, like, especially those four quarterbacks that, yeah. I just don't see how the Texans overcome that.
Like the Astros don't really have to, like, go through, like, major overhauls.
Right.
And they can win the division next year.
Exactly.
The Texans look like they need a major overhaul on offense, at the very least, and especially that offensive line. You just, like, and they've already tried to overhaul. They've already overhauled and failed, where the Astros, they've at least proven to me that they have, like, a blueprint of success. Like, they can get a pitching staff out of thin air, more or less. And every time one breaks, they can kind of just call up another one.
The summer of George!
And figure it out. Yes, shout out to Jason Alexander. This year's best example of that.
Yeah, and I think it's a great point that Brian makes, because, like, there is no Josh Allen in the American League. Like Aaron Judge doesn't win. Now, Josh Allen hasn't won yet either. But, like, there isn't, like, that top-of-the-top competition that I think you look at next season and say, okay, these are for sure going to be the best teams in the American League. Like, could the Blue Jays, you know, after potentially winning the East this year or potentially now falling into the wild card race, miss the playoffs next year? Absolutely. What if Alex Bregman doesn't re-sign with the Boston Red Sox? Does anyone really believe what's going on with the Cleveland Guardians right now? Does anyone believe in the Seattle Mariners' long-term future? Like, the answer to that is no for all of it. Like, no one really believes in the American League teams at this moment of who's going you feel confident about. Like, there is no Astros in the American League now, where there is in the AFC for the Texans. And, like, you don't have a roster that can compete with Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. Like, and even though the Ravens defense seems to be atrocious this year, like,
they'll figure it out in week 5.
Yeah, like,
I have a feeling they'll figure it out in week 5. Yeah, like, get right game. Like, get right game for the Ravens.
They're not going to, like, all of a sudden be at the top of the top. Like, the Astros, like, it's a very easy argument to wire, like, they're back into World Series contention next year.
Especially, you mentioned something there, Joe, I think in your previous point, where they're going to have, you know, contracts coming off the books. Like, the 180 of that is what's about to happen with the Texans. They already paid, now relatively Petrie was a small number compared to the other guys, but they paid Petrie the highest number of his position. They paid Stingley the highest his position. Will Anderson Jr. is about to cost you $45-ish million. CJ Stroud, even if he sucks, is going to get 50 plus. Like, the ability for the Texans to do another overhaul while also adding that much salary to their books is like the complete 180 of what the Astros are about to go through with the luxury of getting some of their bad contracts off the books.
Yeah, they haven't proven they can score 20 points in a game this year.
Yeah. They're averaging 13.
Like, what are we talking?
Or
like,
12. It's less than 13.
It's a situation where they've addressed or tried to address their issue. They drafted Kenyon Green in the first round. They drafted Blake Fisher in the second round. Mm-hmm. They drafted Drew Scruggs second round.
Second round, yeah.
They drafted Ariante Irsary. It's early, but he's given up 11 pressures in 3 games.
Yeah.
I mean, like they haven't ignored offensive line. They just can't do it.
Yep, Nick Casario's bad at it.
They just can't. They can't develop one. Nick Casario's next hit on his offensive line will be his first hit.
Just keep asking good questions and don't ask dumb questions.
Why can't you draft an offensive lineman, Nick? That's my question.
That's a dumb question, Sean.
Oh, what?
It's a dumb question.
No, because he would also tell you, like he told the fans this year at a season ticket event, that they feel confident in their offensive line, because that's what he said. How he and D'Amico Ryans both felt about their offensive line going into this season. There was obviously a team we didn't mention because, duh, they're the obvious answer. That's the Houston Rockets. Of course, they're way closer to a title contender, but we did see a dramatic shift in terms of betting odds to where they fall after the news that Fred VanVleet had torn his ACL. We haven't had a ton of time to talk about it this week, but so since the Astros are playing right now and, well, the Texans are exhausting, where do the Rockets go from here now that Fred is going to be out for the entire season? We get to that next year on Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up on October 25th and 26th, this crew right here, Sean, me, Brian, we're headed to ESPN Bet at La Berge in Lake Charles. They've got a new chef, which means they got new menu items. They have a new VIP fan cave section available for bookings, and the restaurant portion of the sports book is now available to all ages. Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, all the action on the weekend. We were looking at the dates we're going out there. We're going out there twice in December. We're going to be out there for conference championship weekend, and we're going to be out there for the first weekend of the college football playoff. I cannot wait. It's awesome to go there no matter what, especially during a great college football weekend, but to be there during arguably the two best weekends of the college football and NFL season is going to be absolutely incredible. Make sure when you go to La Berge, you check out ESPN Bet, because it's a sports book for me. It should be the sports book for you. Must be 21 plus to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN. 97.5.
Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports will join us in about 10 minutes to give you a preview of some of the games coming up this weekend in college football and in the NFL. Sean Mapes filling in for Jeremy today. He returns to the show on Monday. Brian here with us as always. Fred VanVleet tears his ACL, had his surgery. Successful
surgery.
That's good.
I mean, they say that about every surgery.
Yep.
It's successful, though.
And most of the time,
don't say it was unsuccessful.
The only time I won't believe if it's a successful surgery now is if it comes from the Houston Astros.
I was about to say, like, checking in on Lance and Luis Garcia, the most successful surgeries.
Well, the surgeries are successful. The rehab.
Hey, can we have one of the interns, like, search Twitter and see if anyone ever tweeted that Luis Garcia had a successful surgery? To, like, see if that was ever tweeted by the team? Because it would honestly be very funny if it wasn't, and then the way it's played out. But Fred VanVleet is done for the year, and the Rockets have a couple different ways that they could approach this. Stand pat, you can make a move now. You can make a move in December, because that's kind of where they can't really make a big move now. A lot of all the guys that they signed this offseason cannot be traded until December 15th. So they are limited, especially with where they're at in terms of the apron and everything. Let's hear first here's Zach Lowe from The Ringer. That sounds weird to say, about what he thinks the Rockets are going to do for the point guard position.
From what I've heard, the Rockets are going to do nothing, and they're going to do nothing for a couple of reasons. Number one, they can't really do anything until December 15th, when all the free agents that signed in the summer can be traded, including like half of their roster. And they're not going to do anything because they're going to give the ball to Amen Thompson and Reed Sheppard. They might even start Reed Sheppard, I don't know, and just see what they have in those guys.
So I think that was the most logical thing. It does make a lot of sense of just like, can a man be the point guard that it seemed like he was going to be turned into at some point? You did draft Reed Sheppard third overall. He didn't play much last year, so I don't have a ton of faith in him at the moment. It's obviously it's a big change in his role where, like, I think, Sean, we were all expecting him to play much more this season, but to be potentially thrust into the starting lineup is very, very different for him this year. Are you good with the Rockets just kind of standing pat right now, or do you think they should be more aggressive to solve this even before the regular season starts on I think is October 21st?
Yeah, I think you got to stand pat. Part of it is what you're talking about with who's eligible to get traded before December 15th, not just for you, but for across the league. It just is harder to make a trade because you have way less guys that are eligible to get traded across the league. Never mind on your team where the only guys that are eligible to be traded more or less are Kevin Durant, Alperen Şengün,
Tari,
and Amin Thompson. Mm-hmm. And it's like guys where it's like you're not like it would be such an overreaction to trade any of those guys to get a point guard. And then what point guard are you getting? You're going to have to need it's going to have to be a pretty high level point guard. And right now, those teams aren't going to be looking to get rid of those guys. So I think you just ride it out until December, January, until that use the first part of the season as, hey, training wheels are off on Amin Thompson and Reed Shepard to hopefully take the reins of this offense. It helps getting Kevin Durant, obviously, in the building. So you can kind of go with a little bit of, all right, Amin Thompson or Reed Shepard, you just dribble the ball off up the court and then throw it to either Şengün or to Kevin Durant, and they'll run our offense for us, and we'll play more through those two guys. To me, that makes more sense than any trade, and especially any major trade to try to make up for the loss of Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, I think for there to be a major trade, like there's a couple teams like we have to keep an eye on. I think specifically, I was listening to Zach Lowe on with Bill Simmons on his podcast, and they were kind of throwing names back and forth at each other, and it wasn't exactly the most like star-studded list of guys. The biggest name that they had a conversation about that I think is really interesting, which would have to wait for sure until after December 15th, is Derek White. Is if the Boston Celtics without Tatum are willing to tear it down a little bit, like, and they own their own picks, like they could tank out this year, but like if a Jaylen Brown were to also get hurt this year and their season really falls flat on its face, because frankly, I think they're going to be good enough to make the playoffs in the East without Jason Tatum. I don't think they're not going to win anything, but like they're going to be in playoff contention, and that might matter to the organization. Like Derek White's probably the biggest name you're looking at. The other names they were throwing out there are just, I'd rather just see this group run it for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they were talking about Peyton Pritchard, which I think Peyton Pritchard intrigues me. Jose Alvarado from the Pelicans, TJ McConnell from the Pacers, Ayo Dosunmu from the Bulls, like are guys that you could look at that are, you know, could be available for different reasons. It'd be better for the Rockets if this just works. Honestly.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's what we've talked about for a couple years with the Rockets, where it's like, where does their star come from? It's like, well, hopefully the guy's already on the roster. And this is a smaller version of that, where it's who's going to be the primary ball handler for this team. I would prefer it to be one of the guys that's already on the roster. And if it comes to a point where they're not ready for it, I think you have to make the decision of whether you want it to be one of those smaller moves, like you're saying. Like I think he's a good player, but I don't think Ayo Dosunmu is changing this team's fortunes at all. Like,
no.
How many career starts does he have? Like, it is just a auxiliary piece if you're talking about him or Pritchard. So I think you have to make the decision of, like, do you want to make, you know, one more big move for, I think Derek White's kind of like the smallest big move you can make. You know, he is the best guy that wouldn't be like an all-in move. But I think you have to consider is like, okay, do we make the, like, you know, put all the chips in kind of trade to get a real deal superstar? And that won't happen until the deadline at the earliest, and might be something that happens next offseason anyway. So I think you just have to treat this year as at least the first half of this year as development for your last two top five picks and see what they got. And if it comes in February that this isn't tenable, then you can go out and make those moves for, you know, Anthony Simons or whoever,
yeah, where
it's not really moving the needle too much, but it's a little bit of help for this team.
Yeah, and even then it's like, I mean, now the Rockets, what's good about the Rockets is they're in position to make that splash if they've wanted to. They have arguably two of the best assets in, you know, the NBA right now with the 2027 Brooklyn Nets first-round pick and the Suns first-round pick in 2027. Like, teams are going to want those assets. So, yeah, like, if you are in the point guard market, you can use Fred VanVleet's contract along with the Reed Shepard and those picks to make a big splash. But even then, Sean, I was like, what are you looking at here?
Yeah.
Like, are the Spurs so happy with the development that they've seen with the guy they just drafted? I can't remember his name right now. The kid out of Rutgers.
Harper. Yeah, Dylan Harper.
That, like, they're willing to move on from De'Aaron Fox already.
Yeah, and then there's a little bit of like, well, if he's that good, they're probably also good. So why would they want to help out the Rockets?
Exactly. Like, I don't even know like what you're really looking for.
Yeah. No. I mean, it would have to be like a big, you know, Jaylen Brown kind of move. Yeah, like, yeah, a real, like a actually big move.
Like, I'm not trading any of those assets for Tyler Hero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That kind of stuff. And this guy isn't like actually available, but he did just get traded to the Orlando Magic. But like a Desmond Bane type move, it's like, no, that's not really like, I don't feel like that's a good use of your assets, because you have one, you know, you basically have one last big one.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't worth it to have two smaller ones.
Yeah,
you really just need one big one.
Like, you go for Ja Morant, I guess. But like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, there's one other name. I'll save it for later, because there's one. We got to go to break. We got to
so what a tease.
We'll get to it at 4:15, because there's one. There's one player that I think could be available to the Rockets that might want to come here that we'll have to talk about. We'll talk about that at 4:15. But next, let's go out. We'll go out to the HRMP listener line. When we get back, we'll talk to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. That's next year on Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.